God, we thank you for this day. Speak to us now. Open our eyes so we can see you, our ears so that we can hear you, and our hearts so that we can obey you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, name above every name. Amen. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Let's read it together. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare sacrifice for you and watch. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Some people view prayer as a tool to get what they want from God, not as a mean to experience God and to get to know him better. They almost approach God as if God was Santa Claus. They remember God when they need something, and the rest of the time they just go through life. While others practice a daily prayer time to develop an intimate relationship with God. An example is David, the great psalmist of Israel. He became intimately acquainted with God while he was out in the wilderness shepherding the flock, or even while he was hiding from his enemies in the caves. He came to know God as his constant companion. David's commitment to prayer rose from a personal relationship with him. David enjoyed and treasured his time with God. He wasn't just the God of his fathers or the high and mighty God of Israel. No, he was the God of David. When he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he knew that that was true. He had experienced it in his own life. And when he said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He said it with conviction. He said it with an inner knowing. Have you ever had an inner knowing? That you know that you know that you know that you know? And people might be showing you other evidence as to why that's not true. But you have that inner knowing in your inner man, in your inner self. And you know that that is the truth. You see, if you and I don't have that conviction, we're in trouble. Some in the body of Christ don't have a vibrant prayer life because they just don't know Christ. They know of Christ. We could go through the motion, really, but without the devotion. We could wake up on Sundays and come to church and look really pretty because that's what we've always done. That's what mama taught us to do. And so we go through it, but we don't even know really why we do it. As author Kenneth Boa affirms, discipleship does not happen by accident. It is a process that is animated by an ongoing intention of the heart. A disciple never stops learning and walking with Christ. David, during the joyful times in his life, praised, honored, and celebrated God. I mean, read it. He was the best praise leader there was. And I think there will ever be. They were coming back from war. They had recovered the Ark of the Covenant. He was celebrating and dancing when his ephod, it was like an apron, came off. And he was totally naked and still celebrating God's goodness. Of course, that made his wife really upset. In the difficult times, he did not turn his back on God. Instead, he cried out to God. He called out in the midst of his pain, his persecution, his devastation. Another time, because David was a man of war, that's why he couldn't build the sanctuary of the Lord. And I don't say that, that the Bible says it. But he was coming from another battle, another time. And when they got to their camp, there was total devastation, like what we're seeing on TV with the hurricane. Their wives were taken away into captivity. And his own men turned against him and wanted to kill him. You know what the Bible says David did? David went and strengthened himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. He didn't go and have a pity party. He didn't go gossip and call this one and that one. He went to the Lord to strengthen himself. And in the verse we just read this morning, I mean, if you read that whole psalm, the whole chapter, you'll find out that, again, he was being persecuted. They were slandering his name. People were judging him, speaking ill of him. And this is what he said. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I lay out my request before you. As Miss Chris said, the word in the morning is said twice. And by using this word twice, he's really making an emphasis. He's committing himself to an appointed time with God. You see, this is a matter of discipline. I guess if I asked, as Miss Chris did, what is the first thing you do in the morning, we're all going to have different answers. I know for me it's to go straight to the coffee pot. But we all have different habits, different things that we do that has become a habit in our lives. Now, maybe you might wonder, if you're not a morning person, why the morning? Because it sets the tone for the whole day. Then he proceeds to say, I lay my request before you. Means I lay it all out for you to see. I organize my thoughts, my ideas, my needs, my concerns, and I submit them all to the master of the universe, our Abba Daddy, without holding anything back. You know, sometimes you and I think that we can fool God, and there's certain thoughts that we have that we think God doesn't know about them, or that we can hide them from him. He knows us. The Bible says that before the word comes out of our mouth, God already knows it. But he doesn't leave it there. He says, and I wait in expectation. And the word expectation is defined as a strong belief that something good is about to happen. In other words, David would come early in the morning before the Lord to speak to him, and then he would wait for God to speak back to him. Because God is never in a hurry. And because prayer is not a monologue like many of us think it is. Many times we come before him, like with a list, and then we're done, amen, thank you, Jesus, and we walk away. Never hearing, never listening to what God wants to tell us. F.B. Meyer, a pastor and an author, a Bible teacher, an evangelist who lived in the 1800s in London, puts it this way. My soul wakes up early and turns to you, O God, for the light, your light, is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise you. Lord, take my hand in yours and make the crooked places plain, that your name may be glorified in my daily walk and conversation. Sometimes we forget that God is listening. And the Bible says that he's going to judge us for every word that comes out of our mouth. Now, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I have a great imagination. I don't know if it's going to happen the minute we walk in. And Peter, they say Peter is the one that's going to open the gate. I don't know. And then he's going to press a button. There's going to be this big computer. And all of a sudden, we are going to hear a voice. And all our words are going to come back out. I don't know. But that's terrifying. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorites, another influential preacher of the 1800s, said this about of F.B. Myers. He said, Myers preaches as a man who has seen God face to face. Wow. That's the idea. To have such a vibrant prayer life that other people can see Jesus Christ in us. As the Apostle Paul would say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, maybe you're wondering, how do I order my prayers when I come before the Lord in the morning? Well, wonder no more. It's really simple. You go to your red recliner, your green recliner, your favorite chair. Not the bed, because you might fall asleep again. You have this designated place in your house where you go meet the Lord every day. All you need is a little table and a comfortable chair. You take your journal, for those of you who enjoy writing, because God's going to speak to you. And you want to write it down, because you might forget it. And what he says is important, so you want to write it down. You have your Bible there. There's all kinds of versions now. I lost count. The best is a study Bible. And you're familiar, and some people say, well, I don't know, there's too many books. Well, you know, they have little tabs now, so that you could go to the book that you're supposed to. And then you have a devotional booklet. There's plenty of them. We got plenty of them back there. This one, the Daily Bread. There's the upper room, Jesus Calling. I mean, the list is endless. And you take your bulletin with you. I walk around here and I pray during the week, and there's a lot of bulletins that are left behind. I've been tempted not to have a bulletin next Sunday, because so many of them are left behind. And we're supposed to take this home because there are all these names here for us to pray for. You might say, well, I don't know that name. I don't even know who they are. We don't need to. God knows. All we need to do is pray. Early in the morning, I will lay it all out before the Lord. Early in the morning, I will wait with expectation. Because I know God's going to answer me. You see, in the discipline devotional, one of the devotionals that I do, I read something this week. And it says, let the light of God's living word expose all the heights in darkness. Submit to the soul cleansing illumination of God's word. Only then can the difficult, sin-stricken areas in our hearts be made whole again. I put a little something together to help us with our prayer life. And it's in back of the bulletin. P stands for preparing my heart. Psalm 66:18. Because the Bible says, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen to my prayer. R, read his word. Meditate. Just as John read this morning from Hebrews 12. The word of God is alive. And it is powerful. And David said in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light. A, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his joy. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Every day, that's why we need to come to him. I used to have an old friend in Oklahoma who used to tell me, Jackie, we need to come to the glory spout and get filled every morning. Why? Yield to his will. Matthew 6:10. And we pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. E. Enjoy his presence. The Bible promises in Acts 3:20, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We're restored, we're strengthened when we spend quality time in his presence. R, rest in his love. Matthew 11:28, powerful invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus offers rest for our weary soul. Jesus also practiced this pattern of daily morning prayer. In the Gospels, we will read over and over again that early in the morning, Jesus will go away by himself to spend time with the Father. Now, I do understand we're all wired differently, and some people cannot do the morning prayer time, but the day has 24 hours. Find a time and find a place that works for you. Because the bottom line is that our commitment to prayer comes from a deep desire to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know that some of us have issues having intimate relationships because we weren't brought up that way, because we don't have an emotional language, because we never saw it practiced in our family of origin. But when we come to Christ and we surrender all of our issues and our hang-ups, He is able to bring wholeness and to teach us how to have that intimate time with Him. One of the characteristics of a Christian, a person who claims to believe in Jesus Christ, is a vibrant prayer life. The question for us this morning is, do I have a vibrant prayer life? Not your spouse, not your friend, not your neighbor. Sometimes we want to elbow the person next to us and think, well, that message would have been great for little Joey. It is for us today. Let us pray.